I think the initial scandal, of course, was the abuse itself, because people can understand the terrible harm done to young people. Some of them, many of them ruined for life, some even driven to suicide. But when you reflect on what actually happened, I think it's much more serious that the church leaders did so little that, of course, you can excuse them in one sense by saying they didn't realize how serious the problem was, and they were conditioned by their environment, their upbringing, etc. The initial instinct was to protect the church and its good name, and they didn't realize the harm that was being done, and they simply neglected to do what they should have done, namely to root out the problem and to see that it wouldn't happen again. And I think the most extreme case is Cardinal Law in Boston. Some people would say that if he were still back in the States, he could end up in prison, because it turns out that he actually not only moved priests around, but actually wrote letters of recommendation for them, knowing that they were less than perfect.
And yet, looking at some of these cases from the outside, you would imagine that the issue involved was very simple, very straightforward, almost black and white. And yet, so many people, such as Cardinal Law that you've mentioned, so many people in authority in the church, in a sense, Sean, it was a test that was put to them, and they failed that test. I mean, it's difficult to understand people who had been brought up with faith, with theology, with religion and so on, when a real test came along, maybe in some cases the first real test came along, they flunked it.
People in administration can easily become caught up in bureaucracy, that their concern is their training, is their formation, their whole culture is to defend the institution for which they work. And if it's the church, then of course they have a deeper kind of feeling that they must defend this at all costs. And they never stop to think that in this situation the cost is far, far too high, and they've done tremendous damage to the church, and it won't be repaired overnight. 4 years before the Irish bishops published their statement, I wrote an article that was well received around the world, in which I said that, well, the response to this scandal should be very simple. The three A's: admit, accept, adjust. In other words, admit, yes, these are the facts. We can't deny them, admit them. Secondly, accept. In other words, they have happened in our church. We did very little to remedy it or to avoid it. And we didn't know at the beginning. We weren't aware of how serious the thing was. But when more and more came to the fore, we realized it was a terrible thing to happen. And then they didn't act. And just means that you take the necessary strategies to do whatever you can to help the people who have been so terribly harmed, and then take precautions, set up structures to make sure it will never happen again.
Do you see any signs that those three A's are being adopted at this stage or implemented anywhere in the church? Or indeed, if they're not being implemented, Sean, what's your assessment about how reversible or irreversible this damage is? Is it possible, is it just something that maybe time might heal over a period of years?
People do say time is a great healer, and in many cases that is true. But I think in this case here, the harm done to the church cannot be repaired quickly. It must be taken out into the open, look at the situation, admit it, accept it, and then say, what are we going to do? And in deciding that, it shouldn't be just church leaders. They have no experience in this kind of thing. Everybody should be involved. Little distraction that crosses my mind is that if the church leaders had a very ordinary experience of family life, they have no children, they have no partner, married partner, and therefore it's very difficult for them to see the agony that people go through, and also the harm done psychologically, emotionally to the victims. They end up, many of them, being incapable of a deep relationship. They can't get married. They're carrying this thing to their grave.
I think some people would feel that one of the ways the damage to the church was shown was in this huge falling off in vocations to the religious life, and also huge fall off in the practice of the formalities of religion by people. Yet, at the same time, quite recently, at the death of Pope John Paul II, we saw this enormous outpouring of grief, of faith, I suppose, of prayer. Is that perhaps an indication that the damage may not have been as severe as perhaps we thought it was? That in fact, young people have, as it were, to use a modern term, factored that in now into their attitude towards the church and have moved on?
Well, I think it is true that there have been, let's say, well, the few vocations recently. People are moving away from the church, and I wouldn't blame that simply on the sex abuse scandals. That's part of modern life, because there are so many other alternatives out there. People are seeing different options they never had before, and that is partly the reason. There is a general secularism which is part of modern life, and we haven't learned to cope with it. Simple point. We have a very, very fine theology and spirituality of poverty and suffering. But we have a very thin spirituality and theology, practically none at all, of affluence and success and economic miracles and that sort of thing. So I don't think we should oversimplify.